When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Cluster B personality disorders are characterized by dramatic, overly emotional, and unpredictable thoughts and behavior. From Ars Longa Media, this is Cluster B, scientifically informed, expert insights into the four Cluster B personality types, antisocial, borderline, narcissistic, and histrionic personality disorder. Here's today's host, Dr. Todd Grande.
Well, this is Dr. Grande. Today's question asks, what are the signs of exposure to a narcissist? So really here, I'm not necessarily talking about being abused by a narcissist, like narcissistic abuse. Of course, that would be included, but just being exposed to a narcissist. So I'm going to look at both of these terms, narcissist and exposure, and then I'll talk about 9 signs of narcissism exposure. So first, what is a narcissist? Narcissism is a set of personality traits. It's not a mental disorder, although there is a mental disorder associated with extreme grandiose narcissism, and that's narcissistic personality disorder. But generally here, when we talk about narcissism, we are talking about a set of personality traits. And narcissism can be divided into 2 types, grandiose and vulnerable. So with both of these types, we see a sense of entitlement, a need for admiration, self-centeredness, and low agreeableness. So this is somebody who's antagonistic. With grandiose narcissism, we see arrogance, being socially bold, being self-confident, having superficial charm, being callous, unemotional, optimistic, resistant to criticism, and having externalized anger. So tending to express anger in the form of affecting other people. Now, vulnerable narcissism has characteristics like being distrustful, resentful, feeling insecure, being hypersensitive to criticism, being socially awkward, pessimistic, cold, distant, unforgiving, and having internalized anger. So someone who directs the anger inside toward themselves, causing self-destruction. Now, when talking about narcissism, it's important to recognize that everyone has some degree of narcissism. It's actually required to survive. But when we talk about a narcissist, we're talking about somebody who has more of these characteristics, and the level to which these characteristics manifest is higher. It's more extreme. So next, what is exposure? So I talked about narcissism, but what is exposure? So in the context of narcissism exposure, it would be living with a romantic partner who's narcissistic, working with somebody who's a narcissist, or being in some sort of social group with a narcissist. So spending time with someone who's narcissistic and having some sort of communication and relationship. Sometimes this is referred to as psychological contact, and it doesn't always exist when somebody's near a narcissist. For example, if you're flying in an airplane and the person sitting next to you for 4 or 5 hours is a narcissist, but they don't say anything to you, or what they say doesn't really seem to have any narcissistic angle to it, that's not exposure to a narcissist. That's just sitting next to somebody who's narcissistic. Now, the worst damage that's absorbed from a narcissist is when that relationship involves a power differential. So when somebody who's narcissistic has power, control, or influence over you. Also, in terms of the signs I'm talking about here, there would be a presumption that the exposure is for a long duration, right? So if you just spend a few hours with somebody who's narcissistic, that's probably not going to have much of an impact on you. If you spend several months or years with somebody who is, almost certainly it's going to have some type of effect. It's not always a severe or extremely damaging effect, but there will be some effect in almost all those instances. Just like if somebody spent time with somebody who isn't narcissistic, there's going to be an effect just from spending time with somebody who has any personality. We spend time with other people, and it changes us to some degree. So now moving to the signs of narcissism exposure, it's important to keep in mind these aren't the characteristics of the narcissist, but of the person who has been exposed to the narcissist. Also, an important note here, Many of these signs can also be caused by other factors, including mental disorders. So it's important to talk to a counselor if you see these signs. These signs are associated with suffering, and a counselor can help with that. So sign number one of narcissism exposure is feeling unwanted, hated, and despised. Now, this isn't a vague feeling. This is actively believing that specifically the narcissist doesn't like you. So also related to this would be feeling odd or taken off guard or surprised when somebody treats you with respect or demonstrates that they like you. So kind of an uneasy or unnerving feeling when somebody treats you really like they're supposed to treat you. That's really included in the same sign. The second sign of narcissism exposure is an exaggerated startle response. This is actually fairly common with post-traumatic stress disorder and, of course, physical abuse. And here we would see this startle response even when engaging in a normal activity. If you're engaging in an activity that violates social norms, then this startle response would really be expected. People tend to be a little jumpy when they're doing something wrong. But here again, I'm talking about engaging in a normal everyday activity and still having that same exaggerated startle response. Sign number three is being fearful, nervous, or worried when you make a relatively benign decision. So for example, say you like to buy a particular product and you usually get it from an online supplier for a fairly low price, but you run out. So we go out to the store to get it, and maybe it's more expensive than usual at the store, or you have to buy a different brand of the product. This is really kind of an everyday decision and normally wouldn't be associated with being afraid or nervous. But with narcissism exposure, this could lead to these feelings. There's really this sense of dependency that forms along with this fear, right? So you realize by making that benign decision that you violated the expectations of the narcissist. And again, that's what causes the worry. Now, the fourth sign is somewhat similar. This is having those same feelings of nervousness and worry when you make a relatively small mistake, right? So parking the car and you bump into another car and scratch it, or maybe back into something that was in the driveway you didn't see, like a lawnmower or something like that. Or like paying a bill late, having to pay a late fee, or forgetting something when you go to the store. So these are really very small mistakes. And again, normally shouldn't be associated with a lot of anxiety or fear. But when the narcissist finds out, you kind of know there's going to be a reaction. And this leads to the feelings of anxiety.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hi there. I'm Heather Drago.
And I'm Sarah Saunders.
We host the podcast, That's a Hard No, about saying no and setting boundaries.
So you can become that true and empowered you that this world needs. Saying no isn't just okay.
It's the key to living an authentic, fulfilling life.
I'm a licensed professional clinical counselor, so while this podcast is in no way a replacement for one-on-one therapy, I suppose I know what I'm talking about.
I'd say so. We talk about learning to say no and set healthy boundaries and how it impacts mental health, physical health, relationships, parenthood, and more.
Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and visit our website, hardnopodcast.com.
We're here to help you find your no and say it unapologetically.
That's a hard no.
Now, sign number five is about distance from the narcissist. So say that in a romantic setting, or this could be in a work setting as well, though, but say in a romantic setting that you're going to go on a vacation or a business trip, or your partner is, and again, presuming that they're the narcissist here. And when this separation takes place, before it takes place, you feel kind of worried about it. Like you're anxious about them leaving, or if you have to leave, anxious about yourself leaving. But then really within the first day when the separation takes place, you feel better, really maybe better than you ever have since the relationship started. So this is really because the exposure has been cut off. And because people who are in a relationship with a narcissist kind of get used to that, that explains that feeling of uneasiness. But then again, right away, it actually feels much better. And what typically happens is as the end of that vacation or business trip, whatever, comes near, the feelings of anxiety return because you know that that separation period is going to be ending. So I look at this as kind of similar to when physicians talk about how it's important to stop smoking or drinking, because the damaging effects of smoking and drinking will start to reverse almost immediately after stopping. So they're trying to be encouraging, saying, look, if you get away from this habit now, things could turn around for you. I think of narcissism exposure in a sense as similar, because the benefits of being away from the narcissist tend to come about fairly quickly. The problem, of course, is that relationships are much more complex than something like smoking or drinking. And this wouldn't be true for everybody. Some people try to separate from the narcissist and it ends up being a disaster. So we can't necessarily use that analogy with smoking and drinking in every situation, but I have seen this as fairly common with narcissism exposure. Now, sign number 6 has to do with self-talk, kind of what people say to themselves. And if you tell yourself that you deserve the narcissist, that you're somehow wrong or bad, and you had this coming for that wrong or bad behavior, that your relationship is in essence a punishment for things that you've done. But still, even with all this self-talk, you remain unconvinced based on the weight of the evidence. This is an indication of narcissism exposure. Narcissists tend to convince people that they're bad or evil, meaning the other person is bad or evil. This is called gaslighting. And this manipulation is done in order to keep control of the other person. So really, this sign shouldn't be very surprising given that manipulation tactic. Sign number 7 has to deal with when you have good news, when something good has happened to you and you feel excited and you want to tell somebody about it. A lot of times when somebody's in a romantic relationship, the first person they want to tell is the romantic partner. But with narcissism exposure, you don't really want to tell your partner the good news. You find yourself wanting to share it with a friend or another family member first. And this is because you get excited thinking about that positive event. It's very encouraging. But when you start thinking about telling the narcissist, that actually takes away from the fun. That diminishes the excitement. And this is essentially because they don't care. They won't be excited for you. And they're really not a good listener anyway. So it seems kind of like a waste and anticlimactic to tell your partner when you could tell somebody else who would be genuinely excited for you and care about your good news. Sign number 8 is if somebody envies the way other couples interact, right? So if you see another couple interacting and they seem mutually supportive, positive, and they're acting seemingly without fear, this is a sign of narcissism exposure. And similarly, if you see the same thing in terms of employment relationship, you see a person and their supervisor interacting in a way that doesn't involve like a lot of resentment, and you kind of fantasize or have jealousy about that relationship. Now, this sign makes sense because those relationships have something that you don't have, or they lack something that you do have that you would rather not have, like the manipulation or the abuse that comes with being with a narcissist. Now, sign number 9 is really about contemplating manipulative behaviors and coming up with a good defense for one of the arguments kind of made against you, one of the false allegations that's part of that manipulation we see from narcissists. So, for example, you come up with a good idea of why you actually have value, because again, the narcissist tries to say that you don't have value. And you kind of replay this argument. You use some self-talk. You tell yourself this argument. It's a good argument. It makes a lot of sense, but you never say it to the narcissist. And the reason you don't say it is because you know it's just going to lead to an argument where somehow, once again, you're going to be made to feel that you are bad or wrong, or specifically in the case with the value, that you have little value. So essentially, sign number 9 is resignation. Now, sometimes when I talk about these signs, I hear this argument that I want to address because it's, I think, worth addressing. It's a legitimate point, but I think it can be countered fairly quickly. And that is the discussion on causality. Sometimes when narcissists abuse other people, or they just manifest these traits around other people, even if it doesn't rise to the level of abuse. And they notice features in the other person like low self-esteem, self-doubt, and low confidence. They make this argument that those behaviors, like the low self-confidence, cause them to be narcissistic. So they're kind of spinning around the causality model, suggesting that the person who's being abused or being mistreated caused somebody to be narcissistic. And self-esteem problems, self-doubt problems, all these different things I talk about, none of these factors actually make a romantic partner or anyone else a narcissist. So it's an interesting argument, but it kind of mixes up what we know from science in terms of causality and narcissism. Narcissism is determined early in life and relatively stable throughout the lifespan. By the time somebody's old enough to have a romantic relationship or be in a work setting, the level of narcissism has already been determined. Somebody can't blame their partner or their employee or whatever the situation is for making them narcissistic. It just doesn't make sense based on the order in which these things occur. Narcissism would exist first, and then we would see these other characteristics, these signs appear. Now, one could make the argument that something else caused the signs and symptoms, and that could be legitimate in many cases. But the argument that those signs and symptoms cause narcissism really doesn't make any sense. And in one way, could be thought of as simply another attempt at gaslighting to kind of turn the problem around and make the other person responsible is really a common behavior of narcissists. So I mentioned before that these signs can be caused by a lot of different things, not just narcissism. But I think it should be concerning that the signs of narcissism exposure have such an overlap with what we see from people who are exposed to physical abuse, and that there's overlap with symptoms of depression, anxiety, and post-traumatic stress disorder. Again, I think this should be frightening and a bit unnerving. That's an appropriate reaction, and it lets us really understand how being exposed to a narcissist can be very destructive. If that exposure is associated with mental disorders, that's kind of a wake-up call. Just because narcissism is a term we only really see a few times in the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual, mostly around narcissistic personality disorder, I talked about that before, that doesn't mean that narcissism isn't serious. It doesn't mean the effects of narcissism exposure can be discounted. They're actually very serious. I think much more serious than a lot of people realize. Narcissism is pernicious. It's destructive. And we have to really be careful around it. And I think, as I mentioned before, it makes a lot of sense to see a mental health counselor if you feel like you're being exposed to narcissistic behavior.
For more content like this, check out Healthy Toxic, another podcast from Ars Longa Media, all about what makes or breaks relationships, including issues related to narcissism, narcissistic abuse, and how personality disorders affect relationships. Ars Longa, Vita Brevets. Learn more at arslonga.media.
Hi, I'm Matt Harris. Seton Tucker and I host the podcast Impact of Influence, which for 2 years covered in depth Alec Murdoch, who was eventually convicted in 2023 of murdering his wife Maggie and son Paul. That story continues to evolve, and we will cover that. Plus, we will tell you stories of other true crime events that have happened in the South. Please join us on Impact of Influence. And give us a follow on the Impact of Influence Facebook page.